Good afternoon, everyone. It is once again that God has allowed us another opportunity to worship Him and to hear another portion of His Word. Amen. And we have another opportunity to feed our spiritual bodies. And why not feed ourselves more of the Word of God? 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And why is that? So that we may grow. We feed our physical bodies often throughout the day, right? Sometimes maybe more often than we should for some of us, huh? But we should make that same effort spiritually, or feed the flesh less and eat more spiritual food, the Word of God. Amen. And I would like to take a moment again to thank God for this opportunity to declare unto you His Word. And I'm also thankful for the ministers at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, Brother Stroud and Brother Brooks, for entrusting me to serve you all in this capacity on today. And additionally, I would like to thank all the brothers for their service on serving thus far. And I thank those who assisted us in our worship service on this morning as well. And as I go into my lesson, I always do my best to present the truth and love. And I hope that this lesson will challenge you and challenge each of us, or will cause us to be uplifted so that we all can grow closer to God. I also would like to welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ. It is my prayer that something will be said to challenge your current belief and ask the questions that will lead you to salvation and to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The old story, the love story that is found in 1 Corinthians 1-4 of how Jesus died for you and how He was buried and rose again the third day. And with us being dead to sin, we must render to that obedience into baptism and to be buried with Him and contact His blood, the same blood that purchased His church, Acts 20-28. And it is the same blood that can wash your sins away, Revelation 1:5. We cannot pray until that act has been completed. In Romans 6:3-5, we know that we are buried with Him in baptism and we're able to rise as He rose and walk in the newness of life. And then upon that obedience, God adds us to His church, Acts 2:47. We can't join this church, but by obedience, God would add us. Amen. And it's not until then that we can call ourselves Christians. And one way we can renew our mind is by being washed in that blood, to contact that blood and wash our slates clean and clean up that conscience that sometimes we have that can accuse or excuse us. And as I proceed to the lesson, I would like to encourage each of us to receive with meekness the wisdom of the Apostle Paul in his letter and take heed to his instruction to us. And for a few moments today, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:1-2 reads, that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Apostle Paul is telling us here in Romans, he is saying, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. He says, listen to me here. By the mercies of God, he's saying by the compassion of God, he is saying by this kindness of God, he is reminding us of how God has been merciful and kind and compassionate to us. But what is he reminding us of, and why is he telling us this? Well, if you know, like I know, man, we all have a nature to sin. Romans 3, verses 23 said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the state of sin, we have no relationship with God. And God knew that we were need a redeemer. So he showed us compassion and sent his son. And by this mercy of God, or by this compassion of God, that he says that ye present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Because of what he did first, we should have that same compassion and sacrifice our lives for his sake. And Paul continues in verse 2, and he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, families and friends, Paul warns us here to not be conformed to this world. And conform can be defined as, the definition of form can be defined as by compliant, being compliant to a standard. Conform could be defined as to be similar in the form of, to have fashion or appearance of another. Paul is telling us to not fashion ourselves like this world. Paul is saying, don't be fashioned like this world. Don't walk around here looking like the world. Jesus said in his prayers in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Paul is reminding us, he says, don't be conformed to the world. And Jesus prayed. When he prayed, he prayed to his Father. He says, set them apart. Set them apart from the world through thy truth. Jesus said this in his prayer. And in verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. See, we have to be different, and we have to be set apart from those that are in the world. See, we have to understand as Christians that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. He is saying, sanctify them through thy truth. He's saying, set them apart. But we must be careful at the same time. Romans 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul is writing in his letter here, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And here we see continuation from the previous verse to explain the need to bring our mindset under control. And Paul is directing this to everyone, not just some of us, but every man, he said, because it's easy for us sometimes to lose sight with so much going on in the common world today with our jobs and maybe promotions on your jobs or activities that your kids is in and you pull to and from, you going everywhere, you running around. Sometimes it's so easy for us to lose sight. And he reminds us here that sometimes we may forget and think that, okay, things are going good for us at the moment. Things are going good right now that we have it going on. But Paul is reminding us here. He said, hold up now. Don't be careful so you won't get high-minded here. He's reminding us. He's saying, hey, be humble. Take a step back and don't think too highly of yourself here. Why? Because this can lead to arrogance. It can lead to pride. And Paul is trying to tell us to don't think that you're better than those around you. Because, see, we all have different circumstances. We all have different talents. Or we all may be at a different point in our spiritual walk, but don't think that you're better than the next. And in verse 4, he tells us, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Because see, as members, we have different talents, but the different talents and the different desires, we can all work together for the same cause. See, it's like your physical body, for example. It is composed or comprised of your head, your shoulders, knees, toes. It's comprised of your hands, your fingers, your elbows. You get my point? They all have different functions, but they work together to help you move. When one hurts, the rest of the body feels it. You may can manage, but it may take you a little while to get moving. When your foot is hurt, you won't be as quick to get to that destination because you're walking with a limp. One of your members is ailing. And we have to nurture it. We have to give it time to recover because when every member is functioning at full capacity, we can move swiftly. We can move efficient. And see, when one of the members is hurting, the body moves different. We need everybody functioning at full capacity. And when they hurt, we nurture them back up. And Paul is reminding us, hey, don't get high-minded, thinking one is better than the other. And we are reminded in James chapter 4, verse 6, he says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. He is saying, brothers and sisters, he's saying, be careful. Make sure you humble. Sit down and think about yourselves and make sure you're not high-minded. And in Philippians chapter 2, we were given an example of humility. Jesus had to humble himself to come down into this earth, to be fashioned as a man, to walk this earth as you and I walk today. Jesus came here fashioned as a man. He had to humble himself. And being humble to his means to accept something that's not appealing. It wasn't appealing for him to want to come down here and walk on this earth as we walk on this earth. And some of us may walk around with our chest stuck out, prideful. But yet, Jesus didn't. He was clothed in humility. And if anyone deserves to have an all that attitude, it would be Jesus, you think? But he was not. He said, let this mind be in you that was in also in Christ Jesus, to be humble. But the challenge in our society and in the world we live in is the patterns of the ways that are acceptable and easy to conform to and fall into. That's the challenge that we have. It's so easy to be conformed to this world because of what the world now accepts. And then once you conform to it, it can be difficult to transform. Why? Because these patterns, if you're not careful, can become habits. And if you know, like I know, habits can be difficult to break. But thanks to God that we don't have to be a slave to them, or we don't have to be stuck in those habits, because the victory is already won. We have the victory. And to be transformed, you must identify your current state of mind and then make a choice to focus on Christ. Colossians 3, verses 2 says, set your affection on things above. Because, brothers and sisters, nothing else matters in this world. And sometimes this alone is difficult for us to grasp. Nothing else matters in this world. We can't take our savings accounts with us when we go. We can't take our cars. We can't take our houses. We can't take any of these materialistic things that we labor so hard for with us when it's all said and done. But we work so hard and we labor for these things just to worship God on Sunday. Once, maybe twice. And we think it's enough. But we work overtime on our jobs. We spend countless hours studying, trying to continue our education, or trying to find a new side hustle to make more money. Countless of hours. But how many hours we spend feeding ourselves the Word of God? And maybe it's just me, but sometimes I feel like we have it backwards. But how do we transform our mind? It's right here in the scriptures. He said, present your body a living sacrifice. You have to have that mindset to present your body a living sacrifice. And he goes on to say, in summary, in the verses 5 through the remaining of the chapter, he goes on to say that if you minister, then minister. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Utilize your talent. If you minister, then minister. If you teach, then teach. If you encourage, then encourage someone. If you give, give freely. He goes on to say that him that rule, be diligent. He that show mercy, Be cheerful when you do it. Listen to Big Brother Paul here in verse 9. He says, don't show fake love. He says, despise evil. Be affectionate. Do good business. Have the spirit of enthusiasm when you're serving the Lord. Be on fire for his sake. He goes on to say, bless them that curse you. Rejoice always. Cry with them that cry. And he says that don't think you know it all. And don't do evil for evil. In verse 18, he goes on to say, live peaceably with all men. And then he tells us why in verse 19. Paul reminds us again that God said, vengeance is mine. See, God will fight and conquer our battles. God's team will win every time. And why? Transform our minds. In verse 2, so you, why transform our mind? Verse 2 says, so we can prove or confirm or demonstrate what is good and acceptable. Because a junkie, cloudy mind, can't think straight. In the book of James chapter 1, James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. See, sometimes we can have so much junk in our minds, we can't successively receive the word of God. So the same analogy like planting a seed in the soil outside, you have to remove some of the dirt in the ground. And when you make a good little hole there in the soil, you can put the seed in. See, sometimes we got to move some of the dirt and some of the trash that we put into our minds, replace it with something positive, and the seed can be planted. And then God can give the increase, and then in a matter of no time, you start seeing the fruit of that labor of that seed you planted. You see the little sprout, and then you keep watering it, you keep nurturing it. It eventually grows and bloom. And how can we transform our minds? We can use the replacement principle. Replace hate with love. Replace gossiping with being encouraging. Replace a lie with the truth. Replace pointing the finger and the blame with serving with enthusiasm. We can use the replacement principle, and we can reframe how we view the past, present, and the future. We can change our perspective with the values that Paul just presented to us here. We can change our perspective with prayer. And when we have had enough, we should remind ourselves that God is good enough and God is near. And if we just stay mindful of his presence, it should lead you to prayer. And prayer changes your mindset and how we respond in this life if done in the right spirit. Changing your mindset is a decision. You can decide today to not think like the rest of the world and renew your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, the real you is not the one who speaks, but the one who thinks. And I know you've heard the saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's true. Because it's our focal point. It all starts in the mind. It controls the members on our body. John, and how can we begin this transformation process? John 12:32 says, Jesus says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. In John 14:6, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you may be on this call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. I want you to know that God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And if you can reciprocate that love today by rendering obedience to that gospel, that story, if we just lift Jesus up, if we could just see him on the cross, and we see him on the cross daily, that'll be enough to help us renew our minds. If you see him hanging on that cross mentally, all bloody, brutally beaten, our master, our Lord, who could have sent angels to save him, but yet he surrendered to the will of his Father because he had you and he had me on his mind. We can reciprocate that love today by keep focusing on him. And if we're not a member of his church, understand that, hear that story, believe it with all our heart, repent. I don't want to keep going down this path. We have to focus on God. And when he was up on that cross and he shed that blood purchased his church. That's the same blood that can cleanse us. And brothers and sisters, those that are in the faith, and as long as we are abiding in that doctrine of Christ and we continue to walk in his path, that blood will just continue to cleanse us. But we have to set our affection on things above. We can't walk around here looking like the world. Can we continue in sin and grace may abound? Paul reminds us, God forbid. And we must understand that if we're not walking in his righteousness, we're lost, even if you are a member of the church. If you're not living a righteous life, we can be dead men walking. But if you renew and transform your mind daily, it's a self-check. Check yourself daily. That's how we can make our election sure. And if you have not rendered obedience to that gospel and are a member of his church, you have time. Now you do. I can't say the same about tomorrow because tomorrow is not promised. Now is the accepted time of salvation. We can't pray when sin is in our life. Sin will hinder any relationship. Most importantly, your relationship with God. So when we're baptized, that sin is washed away and we can rise and walk in newness of life, we're a new creature and be added to his church. Romans 10:17 says, for the faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I just preached unto you that gospel. That story of how Jesus died, buried, and rose again. You must believe it with all of your heart. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to believe. So it is impossible. And then you must repent, Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then you must make the confession, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:36-38. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. Mark 16:15-16, he commanded, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, baptize them. They believe it not, they'll be damned. In Acts 2:47, then the Lord would add you to that church, the church of Christ. Romans 16:16, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's how you become a member. And for those members, if you know you haven't been living a righteous life, James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and he'll forgive you. While the blood is still running warm in your veins, you have another opportunity to get it right. Don't let your time expire now when you have a moment to get it back right. And if you just need prayer, you can make it known. And I will be the first one to ask that you all continue to pray for me and pray for my family. And thank you for your time and attention on today. It's been a pleasure to present to you the Word of God. And it is my prayer that something was said that can strengthen your walk in this journey. We're in it together. Stay strong, my brothers and sisters. Let's stay together. And this is greetings from the Highland Heights Church of Christ and Brother James Boutte. I love you. Amen.